Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on May 24th, 2015, and is entitled, Good Things That Keep People Out of Heaven.
Friends, good morning. I hope you have your Bible in hand and a bulletin. You might have noticed on your way in, we have some cards that are available for you to take on your way out. We'll have some explanation on that. The cards literally say, I love my church, meet me there, with the services on Sunday and an easy map on how to get to Hope Chapel. Now, that's important because we recognize we're on a great, joyful mission of the Lord who wants all men to be saved. And so it's a nice reminder. But the Lord loves the church. That's really His words. We hope it's your words. I love my church. I love you. You're the one I love. But that's just like Jesus said in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church and gave Himself for it. Remember when He told that to even Peter? He said, hey, Cephas, He says, your name's now called Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I love this church. And He named it. He started it. He said, I'm going to protect it. I'm going to even grow it. I'm going to keep it from the gates of hell. Isn't that exciting? So the Lord loves His church. Thank you for considering picking up. They're in little lifts of five. We don't want to overwhelm anybody, but I've already seen one on a counter somewhere. I thought, well, there you go. Okay. Aren't there just a great little way to approach that? Now, the church is marvelous, isn't it? There's great stories about that one man that was rescued on the island. You heard that little joke, right? Guy was a deserted island. All of a sudden, the rescue team came ashore, and the guy says, I've been here for 20 years. How did you discover me? He said, well, from the air, we saw these three huts. And so we just realized there must be life down there in that deserted island. So we came aboard. He said, tell me, so you, what is that one building? He said, well, that's my home. That's my home. He said, well, that's pretty cool. What about these other two huts? Well, he said, this one, that's my church. That's the church I attended. Really? You're all by yourself? Yes. Well, what's this third building over here? Well, that's the church I used to attend. Sometimes people get a little upset with church and they don't come back. We love our church. Let's invite people back. Well, let's take a look at our message, and we're actually going to be going to the Gospel of Luke. And so, Lord, we humbly approach once again what I feel burning in my heart, I'm trusting is also on your heart, about things we need to be aware of. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're taking a look at a message, and the message is entitled very clearly, good things that keep people out of heaven. It's an interesting title, but it's pretty much laid out what the Lord would want to say to us, because how many are aware there are people, many people, good people, not involved in anything sinful, nothing sinful what they're doing. They will miss heaven. They're not going to make it. There are people even in churches around America involved in church. They're fully convinced they're going to make heaven. They will miss it. They will not be there. It's interesting what the Lord's saying here in the scriptures that we're looking at, because these are good people doing good things, but they're not going to make heaven. And that's why the message is entitled, Good Things That Keep People Out of Heaven. Fact is, you might find many of these people in our American culture today that just look really like upstanding citizens, but we're sensing the Lord asking us, would you once again remind them about me? These are people who spend time with their family, time with their friends, great family values, but they're in danger of losing their souls. And we need to have the Lord remind us of these things. It sounds like a paradox, but there's something that the Lord's trying to address, because you and I know verses like Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How about Colossians chapter 3? Colossians 3, verse 2 and 3, where it says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ and God. Set your mind on things. That means set your focus. Literally in the Greek, it means like concrete, something solid. You got to keep set. When was the last time you actually start thoughts about heaven and what that's going to look like one day? Eventually, some of us have more of our loved ones on the other side in heaven. We start to look forward to heaven. But oftentimes, we become too busy with good things that we do not set our focus on heaven. It is still pretty much planted on things on this earth. And that's what we're feeling God is asking us to consider. And it isn't so much maybe even for us, but helping us to realize, do we need to help people to be more acquainted with Jesus and to invite them? Because we're finding that the culture of church is something that can be, if we have time, maybe we'll invite somebody or maybe we'll even attend ourselves. Let's take a look at what Jesus said, because our first point on the message is people who will be totally oblivious to the spiritual realities of future judgment. And let's look here at Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, looking at verse 26. It says this through verse 30. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, it's interesting here. There's not one sin that's mentioned. Can you? Isn't it interesting that the Lord, letter A, they ate, they drank, married, became engaged, bought, sold, planted, and built. There's nothing wrong about that. We'd say, man, that's a great contributor to society. That's what everybody should be doing. And the Lord is bringing this up. Why would Jesus focus in on that? Why doesn't he go for maybe the increased population in the prisons? Why doesn't he talk about maybe the abortions that have been accelerated? He doesn't bring any of that up. He's bringing up good things for people to recognize that these individuals were lacking any form of interest in God and were completely absorbed in what they were doing. All good things, but they were busy, so busy, they did not even know disaster was coming upon them. Now, the first one is Noah. Now, you know, Scripture says it took him 120 years to build that ark. 120, and he took on some abuse. And in that time frame, nobody had slowed down enough to recognize, why are you doing this? And maybe there could be disaster. 120 years. But they were involved in good things. But they were just too busy with their marriages and going out eating and mixing with their friends and being involved with pleasure. They had no time to really listen to what maybe the Spirit of the Lord could be saying. Can people miss that? Apparently, we see it's happening here. So talking about just pinning down the American lifestyle, right there is something that Jesus is bringing up. This he is bringing up. So many Christians who might sit in church, they really don't care. Why don't they care? Because they are busy planning their lives and marriages and raising their children at their home and their jobs and their careers and pleasures instead of just seeing what God would have to say. That's what the Lord is bringing up. They're not aware what could be coming in their direction. So when we look here, verse 30, Jesus says, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The same way in Noah's days, the same day in Lot's days before fire and brimstone came down on Sodom, will be the same condition prior to the return of Christ. People will not be aware of that. What's happening? The last generation will be the same. You can see when the Lord starts moving in our lives, as we were talking even last Sunday about hometown missionaries, man, What is the Spirit of the Lord saying to our society? People may be so busy, they are neglecting their things and times with the Lord. Many people are convinced they're on their way to heaven. But week after week, they neglect God's house, they neglect God's word, and they don't really pray. Why? Because they're involved with very good things, but God is not first. But they're convinced, and maybe you and I might be convinced, because they're an upstanding neighbor. They seem to be very good. There's nothing wrong with them. There's no crime. I don't have to reach across the glass in the prison communication booth. They're out. So we have to be aware. Jeremiah 2, verse 31 and 32, God says, "Why do my people say, 'We will come no more to you,' yet my people have forgotten me days without number?" So we may be doing good things, but the Lord is not first, and he's forgotten so easily. So it's important for us. Say, "Well, you know, I don't know, Pastor Paul. You'd think God would know and understand my schedule. He would understand. Eventually I'll catch up with my schedule. I'm busy. I'm staying up late. I'm too tired to even come to church. I can't quite get my..." He'll understand. I would like to just say he does not understand your schedule. He does not. And let's look at a second point here. The point being on our notes, people with lost opportunity or lame excuses not to have a spiritual life. Let's go to chapter 14. Chapter 14. In chapter 14, you know, wonderful how Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. That means Jesus is first in order and in rank. Very important. So when Jesus says, "I'm actually first in everything," can you imagine? That means, and some say, "Well, Lord, you might be first, but not really, in my business is taking up, my responsibility is taking up a lot of my time." Check it out here with me, Luke chapter 14, verse 15, following through to verse 24. "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him, with Jesus, heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.'" Yeah, man, who's ever around that big table, that bank, yeah, they're blessed, right on. Then Jesus gives this parable, what it's going to be like. "Then he said, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready.' Now, in the custom of that day," which is still now today, you had a kind of the save the date because the real invite is coming. But they would say, "Hey, you're invited, and the next invitation that's going to come saying, 'We've now got everything ready. It's now time. Come on over.'" And so here's the second invitation. So these people have been invited. They know they're invited, but they come up with excuses. I call them lame excuses, but Jesus uses the word excuses. And check it out. And we see here, verse 18, "But they all with one accord began to make what?" They began to make what? Excuses. "The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was..." Basically, what does it say? Angry. So when we say, "I think God will understand. I'm busy. He will understand my schedule." Well, let's just say, can he get angry? And, you know, that's okay. That doesn't mean God's going to whack a person off. They're completely eliminated. You love people, right, in your own family? Have you ever been angry with somebody you loved? Nobody's going to confess. Keep looking straight ahead. Just... look straight ahead at me. Thank you. Yeah, good. We do get angry. They're not doing what we were anticipating them doing. God loves people. But he gets angry when they come up with excuses. And so we see here, verse 21 again, so that servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Sounds like quite a party, doesn't it? I'm like, wow. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Friends, that's what we're even dealing with. I hear the Lord saying to me, Paul, tell my people, go out, compel people to come. Go out. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that. So I want to be responsible from my end. I'm doing that. And I'm also inviting you to hear the Spirit of the Lord. There are people that you and I know that are doing good things, wonderful things. They're going to just be locked out of heaven. They're just too busy and cannot hear. And we need the Lord at this time and season. The Lord would use maybe what or how you approach or we approach. Say, oh, the Lord loves you so much. Have you considered making him more a part of your life? Wow. So we look here in verse 24, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Now, that was in response to the dude's comments in verse 15. Hey, blessed is he who shall basically eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, I'm going to tell you, none of those men who were invited are going to be there. Some people will be locked out. Now, let's look at what Jesus is saying, because our point is people with lost opportunity or lame excuses not to have a spiritual life. We say, man, let's grow in Jesus. Let's get together as a church and let's follow Christ. Oh, man, I've got other things to do. Spiritual life is not one of them lately. So when we look here just a little bit, verse 18 says that one asked to be excused because he bought real estate. And so he needed to be excused to go check it out. Now, the Lord put that in there. I've got property I need to put together. I need to resource that. We're doing a remodel. I mean, it's good. Can you imagine? How about in verse 19? I bought 5 yoke of animals. That's 10. There's a yoke means 2. I mean, it's got, and he says here, check it out. He says, I've got to test drive them. See that there? I got to test. Why on a Sunday? I mean, hey. That's fun to test drive things. So we see here, then verse 20, I married a wife. Now, come on, Jesus. We want family values here. You're subjecting our marriages because we're putting you over our marriage. He brought it up. I didn't. Now, we would think that would be important, but the Lord says he's actually using that as an excuse. My wife may be demanding, I don't know. So we can see here that he says, please excuse me. And so it goes on, and we could see here very, very clearly. So if we think that God understands a person's schedule, I would say he does not. So we might want to just be alert just a little bit. We need to remind people the good things that will keep people out of heaven. Hey, you and I think, they don't need Jesus. They've got it going on. They got a better life than I do. Really? Have I ever considered asking them how secure they feel about heaven? It's an amazing thing when we look here so clearly, because our Lord's inviting us to enjoy his company. But there are people that just have no place set aside. Their satisfaction is not in the Lord. Have you ever thrown a great party? I mean, you just know it's a good party, and hardly anybody shows up. How would you feel? How would you feel? Nobody shows up. We're having this all set up. We would be angry. You try not to show it, you'd be extremely disappointed. And that's really now a little bit how the Lord is feeling. Please go and keep telling people to come. Who knows how much longer we have, dear friends? But the Spirit of the Lord has to move you and me, because we might not see it, but Jesus does. So, these particular people, they make time for those things that they need. All week long, they run here and there. They're constantly for themselves and for their children, making time for dance classes and music lessons and school functions and parties and picnics and sports, workouts, and even shopping. And the list can go on and on and on. I just throw it out. Isn't that true? I mean, you just have to really say, we're going to make Jesus Christ priority. But there are some. None of those things I listed are anything of sin. Not one of them. Except we just don't have an interest in God. And people can be locked out. That's why I think the Lord is saying there are people that legitimately think they're on their way to heaven. You might even think those people are too. Jesus says they may not be there in the kingdom of God. They will all take my chances. Well, isn't that the beauty? That's the beauty of the liberty of our land. That's the beauty of the free will that God gives every human being. So when we look here, let's not neglect the Lord. Make time for him. Let's take a look at one person here. Point number three, a person whose possession possessed him. And how the Lord, it's pretty rare when God asks somebody to sell everything. But he did in this one particular person in Matthew 19. Let's go to the left. Matthew 19, verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Now it's interesting, let me just side note, Jesus saying no one is good. He's really kind of laying it out there. No person is good. Now, we know Jesus is God. And he's just wanting to let this person know, just in case we think that good teacher or mentor is a solid, good person. I mean, everybody needs a Savior. Sometimes we think that or them or over here do not need a Savior. No one is good, Jesus says, except one, that's God. That's why our world needs a Savior. Do I get a witness on that? True, it's true. You know that. I've often told a person, they say, well, the only reason why you haven't sinned yet is because it hasn't been offered to you. But how would you do when you're set up with that situation? Would you have the strength to say, I'm still going to be a holy man, a holy woman, and say no to that? So when we look here, Jesus says, no one is good except one, that is God. And he says, but if you want, and he's asking, how can I get eternal life, which is a great, we're hoping everybody would come to us and say those things to us, right? He says, keep the commandments. Verse 18, he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now, that's an interesting thing. He knew something was lacking. And he's been doing good his whole life. Now, isn't that commendable? The Lord never said, no. He said, but what is it that I'm lacking? Verse 23, and Jesus said to him, Verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now let's just take a look. What was it that maybe he wasn't? Jesus didn't bring up one commandment, which is the first in Exodus 20, where the Ten Commandments are, verse 3. The first one is, you're going to have no other gods but me. No idols. And this may be his possessions possessed him. Would you be willing to give this up to come truly follow me? And at this moment, the young man went away sorrowful. So it's worth noting here, as Jesus continues on, verse 23, he just said to his disciples, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? And that was a topic that Jesus and the disciples, let's get men and women saved, because they need to be redeemed. Verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, the eye of the needle that Jesus is referring to is really when, at late at night, when the city would close its gates, no one went in and out except through a one-person passage called the eye of the needle. So a camel loaded with gear is going to be pretty difficult to squeeze through that one-person entryway for safety reasons. So we can see here, as Jesus is talking to this young man, who then, man, the disciples, who then can be saved? With God, it's possible. We need to have people find their way to Jesus. Isn't that true? Sometimes possessions can possess a person, and they don't even know that until they get a revelation from God. Can God use you and me, maybe to help people, to ask them, would you consider Jesus? Well, friends, you and I have taken a look at one thing here, point number four, people reaching those who were once lost and redeem them for Jesus' glory. You can see here, letter A, find people. I'll just highlight this, but find lost people. We all know people that you and I aren't sure whether they are really walking with God or not. You'd have to know them in order for that to happen. Do you have those? Maybe your whole family's saved. How about people that you know, that you work with or study with? Find lost people. That would be important. Just keep that on your thoughts. Have you thought about lost people lately? You realize that maybe they look good, but they're just too preoccupied, and they're going to be locked out of heaven. Let's get that news to them. Point B, tell lost people. Tell lost people what God has done in your life. Do you have a fresh story? Can you go back to where you received Christ? When was the last time you told your salvation story? What your life was like before Jesus, that's okay. But how about how did you meet him? Somebody introduced you to him? Somebody invite you to a church setting? And now what's your life like? Very simple. Sometimes we're not sure why certain people are the way they are. Tell your story. And it's listed there in John's gospel. That's exactly what's going on with those disciples. And letter C, if in case we may find it hard to tell our story, or to just say there's a lot of people of like-mindedness like me, bring them to a church gathering. Bring them. Let them see there are other people like you out there. That's important. Well, friends, I need to bring this to a conclusion. I want to just have you for a moment here. Just look at the thought of, on your way out today, to gather a little collection of five cards, making it very easy for you to say, can I invite you to church that I love? That would be very easy for you and I to do. Do you know people who are lost? Can that possibly happen? As we take a moment now, let's close our Bibles, would you? We're going to pray. You're here right now, and you don't have Jesus as your Savior and Lord, but you know you need him. Isn't it exciting if what a privilege for us to introduce Jesus to you. Our honor to introduce your friends and family to Jesus as well. And you're not sure heaven is going to be something you're invited to. Let's make sure of that. You have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Has he made a difference? Is there somebody that could give testimony? Say, that dude, that woman, they are Christians. If you need the Lord in your life, eyes are closed, but would you just raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor Paul, I want to give my life to Jesus. You just raise your hand, put it right down. Thank you. Go ahead. Anyone else? I need the Lord in my life. Thank you. Go ahead and put your hand down. Thank you. How wonderful. Let me just pray real quick for these two hands, okay? Maybe you're not quite sure what I'm asking, or maybe you're feeling like, yeah, just really, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. This prayer goes like this. Let's pray it out loud. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I confess to you, dear Lord, I've done a lot of wrong against you and against others. And I ask you now, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life as Lord and Savior. Lord, I choose to make you first in my life for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, friends. Thank you very much. Thank you for your honesty. Well, I want to just ask one other question. You know, last time we were together, Romans 10 said, how will anybody call on him to be saved unless they hear? God uses the preaching or the proclamation or the invitation. Romans 10 says that. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring that proclamation. How many would say, I'm going to consider getting some of these cards, and may the Lord use my feet to bring the good news of invitation. Come to Hope Chapel, or Christ is really where we're going. How many say, I'd like that? Would you just stand to your feet and say, you know what? I want my feet to be blessed. How beautiful are those feet? Good. Because we're going to believe that each of you are going to represent somebody, friends, somebody that you might come across or know that they think that they may be on their way to heaven, but God's moving on your heart to say they really aren't. They need your help. So, just before we pray that, Brooke, are you here? Would you come forward? Thank you, Brooke. We have this right here. Brooke, you shared your faith with somebody, so just before, you're going to now pray for us. Tell us what happened. This was a great
story. On Sunday, I came to the lead meeting, and Jim Wells gave a great teaching on evangelism and how to share your faith and your testimony alongside of the people that you're sharing with. The next day, I was at my house, and a refrigerator repairman came over. He was actually a boy, man, but he looked Muslim, and his name was Samer. You know, I mean, he looked Middle Eastern. And we were talking refrigerators, but then at one point, the Holy Spirit did a little ping in my heart, and I thought, I wonder if I should share with him about Jesus and that God loves him. And so I went and said, hey, did you know that Jesus loves you? Has anybody told you about him? He goes, I'm Coptic Christian. I go to church. I'm a deacon in my church. And I said, oh, that's great. And then I said, you know, tell me, how do you get to heaven? He goes, I know I'm going to heaven. And he said, because I go to church and I do this and I do that and that. So I realized he was missing the gospel, because you get to heaven by what Jesus did on the cross. So I shared my testimony with him, and I said, I was like you. And then when I was 21, the Holy Spirit baptized me. And after that, I had power to witness and in warfare and in worship. And would you like to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life? And he said, yeah. And so I laid hands on him and prayed for him in my kitchen. And the kids were around and everything. But it was so neat, because if I hadn't been and heard the teaching on Sunday at the lead meeting, I wouldn't have stepped into that day. So just to inspire you guys to hear the Holy Spirit's leading and be courageous, because there's fear sometimes, but God has people that are ripe for the harvest, and He does want to use us, like Pastor Paul was saying.
Yeah. Well, Brooke, thank you, and well done, dear Christian. Way to go. Well, I'm going to ask, if you wouldn't mind, would you pray us a blessing, because these dear ones, and let's all stand to our feet if you're not currently standing, but we're going to believe people are going to hear about God's love through what we do or say this week, maybe this month, maybe this the rest of the year.
All right, Lord Jesus, you call us all to do the work of evangelism. And so we thank you that you are gifting everyone right here and now for that work that you've already enabled them into and called them to. This week, Lord, I pray that you would open all of our eyes in here, that you have people that were predetermined before the foundation of the world that we should speak to and share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. We pray that it would be refreshing, that you'd give us courage, that we would even do more than you even expect us to, because we are zealous for you and to see people come into your kingdom. So we pray the oil of anointing over everybody here, that it would just run down over them like the beard of Aaron, and that you would give us the power, the courage to speak forth your truth and invite people into a relationship with you that they will never, ever regret. So give us eyes that are open and hearts that are pierced by the Holy Spirit to do your will. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brooke. Well done. Friends, thank you. Thank you so much for coming. I'm grateful for each and every one of you. Have a wonderful Memorial Day tomorrow and enjoy yourself. Free refreshments outside. We have couples and individuals that are here to pray. They're coming forward if you need prayer. God bless you. You are dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.